This is Bucky McCall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. I recently learned the city of Albany, New York, capital of my home state, is one of the few North American cities where backyard chickening is prohibited, and that local chicken visionaries and a supportive council member are trying to legalize chickens. I'm currently putting together an episode about their experience, and you'll hear more about that soon. In the meantime, suffice it to say, change is not happening overnight, but the pro-chicken contingent and the anti-chicken posse are negotiating. I was a little saddened to see that in order to appease the chicken haters, the legalization proposal may have to contain an amendment requiring the permission of neighboring property owners before a homeowner can set up a coop. As a public policy professional, I've learned to be a realist when I really need to be, and I understand that compromises must sometimes be made when seeking reform. And I think we should all strive to get along with our neighbors, I really do, and fully encourage chickeners to take reasonable measures to ensure their right to keep chickens doesn't infringe on the neighbor's rights to quiet enjoyment. But I'd like to address the neighbor issue in this episode, both for anyone living in a city struggling with legislation, as well as for good intention potential chickeners who are considering clearing their chickening with neighbors before they begin. I pose to you the rhetorical question. Should you have to ask your neighbors, or would your neighbors consider asking you for permission before planting a rose garden, installing a swimming pool, buying a motorcycle, adopting a dog, having children? I could go on. If your answer is no, then why not? Because the fact is, all those things are potentially noisy, smelly, a public health hazard, or simply chaotic. And as with chickens, when approached responsibly, none of those choices are an intrusion on the rights of neighbors. People don't ask for permission because these things are the norm. And the Bucky McCall agenda is that small flocks of chickens in suitable yards and gardens across North America should be the norm. It was the norm in towns, cities, and suburbs until as little as half a century ago, and it's still the norm on much of the planet. Chickens provide non-toxic pest and weed control, supercharge your garden with their nutrient-rich and compost-accelerating poop, and are charming as heck. And they provide fresh, nutritious, delicious eggs, and sometimes meat, without the need for factory farms and corporate distribution networks that waste energy and generate pollution. Why should you ask permission from your neighbors for improving your own, and even their, quality of life? To legally require permission starts us all off on a bad foot by unfairly framing the urban chickening enterprise with the assumption that it will take special effort to avoid an unreasonable amount of noise, odor, germs, or chaos. These are all problems that aren't and shouldn't be the norm with small responsible flocks, and what's more, should already be covered by public nuisance laws. My overwhelming experience with backyard chickens is if a person discreetly starts up with chickens, chances are the neighbors won't even notice right away. I know of many chickeners, including yours truly, who were raising two or three hens for weeks, even months, before the neighbors figured it out. I'm all for going to your neighbors first and saying, "This is what I'm going to do, and I assure you I'm going to do it in a way that doesn't bother you." But I'm also sympathetic to those who want to just go ahead and see how long it takes the neighbors to catch on, and then politely say, "Well, yeah, I looked it up and found out it was legal, so I went ahead. But now that you noticed, after X number of weeks, if you have a complaint, let me know, and we'll address it." What has happened to me and most chickeners I know is that neighbors will be fascinated and delighted with chickens and will even take pride in the fact that they live in a chickening neighborhood. In many areas, folks are inspired by example to have chickens of their own, and that's why urban and suburban chickening typically occurs in clusters of backyards. The best startup approach for a particular neighbor is a highly situational strategic question. A law mandating permission denies the citizens the opportunity to self-govern and preempts the kind of innovation that allows communities to adapt to a changing world and thrive. I'm making a conservative argument here, but one that should appeal to liberals. One suggestion I hear from other chickeners regarding neighbors is, offer to share the eggs with them. I'm not entirely keen on that because in my experience, 3 to 4 hens, laying an average of 5 eggs a week, roughly 10 months of the year, will not lay enough eggs to share, especially in the case of the smaller breeds of chickens I recommend for urban chickeners. Personally, I don't like to make any promises I might not be able to keep. Offering to share some of the increased vegetable yield you'll get in your garden as a result of having chickens, or offering to share chicken poop as fertilizer, is a safer bet. But at any rate, bribery is rarely a sustainable strategy in community building. I'd focus on calming my neighbor's fears, and maybe surprise them with a gift later. What's more, if neighbor permission is legally mandated, give me some eggs becomes a form of extortion, which counterproductively pressures the chickener to adopt practices that may produce more eggs, but will also make chickening less neighborly, such as keeping additional chickens, adding artificial light and heat to the equation, or buying smellier processed feed. Following are the most common fears that make most people want to stop chickening before it even begins, and why I say they're unfounded.
It'll be noisy.
But only roosters are noisy. I've defended roosters on this show, but for the vast majority of city and town chickeners, hens are the only way to go, for legal and practical reasons. I've given up a few roosters over the years. One was particularly difficult to say goodbye to because he was quieter than most, and only crowed from 6:50 to 7:10 a.m. every day, only a few minutes before my alarm clock was set anyhow. But one out of five neighbors in my small apartment building found it intolerable, so I had to rehome the boy, and I have to admit, trying that one neighbor's patience as long as I did was a risky move. I especially realize that now that I know that it was a rooster creating a nuisance that initiated the Albany ban on chickens in 2001. Remind your neighbors or council members you do not need a rooster to protect hens or for hens to lay eggs. Hens do not crow loudly and mostly just make a gentle cooing sound, slightly louder but even more soothing than a cat's purr. Occasionally they cluck excitedly, but at their worst, they are a fraction the decibel level of dogs, teenagers with stereos or amplified instruments, airplanes and automobile traffic, and other urban noises we've all learned to ignore.
It'll be smelly!
Now, a properly maintained coop does not smell. Chicken poop dries up quickly in an open-air coop, and is incorporated into the soil either naturally or by enthusiastic gardeners. Furthermore, chickens eating bugs, weeds, kitchen scraps, and organic feed generate poop that contains a fraction of the ammonia of the poop of massive flocks fed processed additive-laden kibble.
Vermin! It'll attract rats!
Coops that are kept clean with the minimal amount of hygiene required by small flocks do not attract vermin. Only rotting food, broken eggs, or sick chickens generate the scent that will call bad critters. And you will not let those things happen, I know it. Furthermore, most city vermin, such as rats, would much rather hang out in garbage dumps.
I'll get the bird flu.
Bird flu erupts in overcrowded conditions and is spread by industrial distribution networks. The last time there was a major outbreak of bird flu that spread to humans was 100 years ago, when it was cultured and spread by trench warfare. Maps of bird flu outbreaks follow rail lines where factory birds are transported. Wild birds very rarely spread flu because sick and dead birds don't fly. Indeed, the best way to eliminate virulent bird flu would be to replace factory farms with micro flocks nationwide. But just in case, I'm sure you're all going to follow the USDA's simple hygiene recommendations.
You'll build an ugly structure.
Chicken coops can be quite lovely. I'm tempted to say, Martha Stewart has chickens. I rest my case. But I will also add that you can easily print out pictures of coops from the website mypetchicken.com or an issue of Backyard Poultry Magazine and show that to your neighbors. I recommend keeping your coop cheap and simple. But if you're really trying to please your neighbors, you may want to invest in one of those trendy little coops. You still eventually get your money's worth in eggs, better gardening, and fun. If you need more details on these arguments, I've done at least one broadcast focusing on each of them. Almost all of the shows I've ever done are archived on radioforall.net, and the shows are labeled by topic. Just search for Bucky Bacall. Finally, as always, I encourage you to email me with questions, feedback, personal stories, and sound files are especially awesome to Bucky@BuckyBacall.org. This is Bucky Bacall. I had a good time. Bucky Bacall's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.